Okay. Hello, Vivian. How are you?
Hello, Jennifer. I am busy, 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 busy.
Yeah.
We upgraded to sunflower this week.
So, have you tried lists?
I have not had the opportunity to try lists. Why do you ask?
Because we are in the midst of testing our dry run, and we list is we're having problems exporting CSV because when we were yeah, so we noticed that like list and some other things, it has system created users that when we migrated, because there was nothing associated with them, it got rid of them. So we're trying to recreate those.
I mean, I will say that I tested exporting from lists on Sunday when we tested the system, and it was working okay.
Okay. All righty.
But I don't know about the system created users thing. I'm not familiar with that situation.
This was a new one for us as well because so we created a script to take everything we had from before and make it some Eureka ready. So, and we got rid of what we thought were these weird, users, which they aren't weird, they're very necessary.
Oh no. Oh, okay. So this is actually a situation that you guys kind of created?
Well, yeah, unintentionally.
Oh no. Okay. Well, no, we didn't. I mean, we didn't do anything like that. So you're not having if the problem you're experiencing with exporting is tied to these users, then no, we're not having that problem because we didn't have that situation. That's frustrating.
Yeah, at least we caught it though.
Hey, on a side note, I had reached out about Consortia Sig.
That's
We
right.
will probably go down to one meeting a month. I mean, it's pretty quiet over there right now.
Yeah, a lot of places, a lot of groups are going down to one a month, which actually I think is fine, honestly.
So if you are interested and available, we are probably looking at, God, I should know this by now, but I still don't. The first Tuesday of the month
Oh, that would work.
at 12 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. First Tuesday. All right. I'll touch base with you on the consortial channel.
All right, sounds good.
All
Thanks,
right.
Jennifer.
Yeah, sure thing.
All right, Katie's here too. Yeah, Katie's used to this. I'm out here stumping for Consortia Sig. We need members.
Yeah, we should probably reach out to the that Southern California that
Skelk. Skelk.
yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah, what a great idea. Because I know Kate. Kate was part of our implementation team. Yeah. What a
Oh,
great idea.
nice. Okay. Yeah. All
Yeah.
righty. Let's see. I think I'm just gonna obviously talk to myself and share the screen.
Well, you're not just talking to yourself, you're talking to all of us.
That's true. I am not alone in my talking to myself. So yeah, we're just gonna wait a minute or so, but let me try and get all my Zoom things going here and put in here's the link to today's I was about to say menu. Oh my gosh, agenda. And I was wondering if we had a volunteer to take notes today. Oh, thank you, Whitney. That would be amazing. And they don't have to be detailed. It's pretty much, if there's really action items or decisions that We need to follow up on. All right, let me. How many people do we have? So it looks like we have a pretty good showing, and I know Ryan, you have to get out. Was it in like around 1:30?
Yeah, that's right.
Alrighty, so let's just get started. And I put two topics for you at the beginning. So WolfCon 2026 is accepting proposals up to March 25th, and early bird is open as well. That closes July 28th. So right now we just have 10 proposals. Please think of putting something in. If you would like to submit a pre-conference workshop, and that can be all day. So all day would be 8 to noon and then 1 to 4, or it can be a half day, either afternoon or the morning. Get in touch with Thomas Trutt on Slack, and he can get the ball rolling with all of that. So yeah, it's actually a really nice registration, fairly painless, so that's good. March 26, unfortunately, Autumn is not feeling well, but she did confirm, and I should probably edit for this. If I'm going to edit the page, it makes sense to be in edit mode. She is going to lead a session on using bibliographic update services, like vendors like Backstage, in conjunction with data import. So have a speaker, which might be Autumn Faulkner or someone else. If you are interested in this, if you would like to speak, maybe you work with Backstage as well. I think Backstage is the only one left because Markive kicked the bucket. I don't know if there's another one. Anyway, just contact Autumn, or you can contact myself or Christy, and we will put you in touch with Autumn for the 3:18 date. And I do have, I will put that in. There's already a placeholder here for that agenda, so I'll put that in and kind of advertise that as well. Do we have any updates that anyone would like to share with, well, right now?
I will share that Mobius is now running Sunflower SP5. So far, so good. We updated over the weekend and we have had extensive testing, and boy, boy, there have been minimal issues, which is really super great, but also like it's gone so smoothly, I'm not sure I can trust it.
That is fantastic. Yay. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. We're testing our dry run sunflower. We had a couple of snags. But nothing that we so far that we can't fix. And of course with our dry run we always like to do stress testing of data import. So with Ramsons, we got to 500,000 updates of Mark SRS. So we're gonna try for more than that. I think last time it finished maybe in 2 hours. So we'll see how long it takes in Sunflower. Yeah. Any other updates that someone would like to share with the group? Ryan.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to give Heads up that the inventory item reorder UAT will be wrapping up tomorrow. So if you haven't had a chance to give it a try, if you have time today or tomorrow, we would certainly love all the feedback we can get. So I'll throw a link to that in the chat right now. I think that's it for me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And I did forget about that. So thank you for the reminder. And I know people are have been waiting for that for some time. So exciting news. Any other updates? Ooh. Great. All righty. So let's go to hear the now for this. This was discussed on January 21st, and it was the new requested functionality of updating instance holdings and item in reverse order, and that was already discussed on the 21st. I went back and reviewed kind of the action items. I always I recommend doing that. sorry, that's just a critique on myself, a self-critique. So I noticed that in the action items, Ryan, you were going to reach out to the developers. So I was wondering, I think you mentioned that you had heard back, and I was wondering if you could share what they had to say about this functionality.
So, something that I still want to spend some more time with the team on. They've just been a little busy on the development side lately, but we did talk out the concept here of how I think it was Christy who brought this up. You need to, if you want to make updates to an instance and holdings and items, you have to put your action profiles in your did import job profile in that order, or else it won't quite work the way you expect it to. And so I spoke with the team about that after our SIG meeting, and from the feedback I got from them was that this is a deliberate choice in that logic, in the way that it was implemented, due to the way that the record entities are stored and linked together. So, like the way the item is linked to the holdings and the holdings is linked to the instance, that logic of going instance, holdings, items. Is how it was designed. That said, when I was talking about it with the team, they did think it might be possible to, and I'd have to review again what Christie's exact goal was with doing a reverse order of item holdings instance. I forget the exact goal there, but the team does think it might be possible to achieve that just with some adjusted maneuvering with the way data import currently works. So that's something, again, we've been a little busy on the dev side lately, but as we have time to kind of break out into testing things like this, we're going to try and take a closer look and see if we could offer an alternative to that. And another thing, if I recall from the notes, I thought that Christy said she would try it again in the latest bug fest to set it up the way she had originally tested it, but I don't recall where that went. And I realize we don't have, oh, Christy, you are with us. Did you,
Yeah.
did I recall that correctly?
I had forgotten that. I thought that we were going to test it in the workshop section. So, That is me misremembering. I can retest it. Unfortunately, I can't retest it in Bugfest because so this is for our shelf ready workflow, and the match point that we need to use is the vendor reference number in the order. And it's really hard to test anything with orders in Bugfest because you have to set up the fund, all the finance pieces, and there's just a lot of setup to just being able to create an order. Yeah, but we actually too are we are testing. We're in the process of testing Sunflower. So we have a Sunflower migration environment set up locally here at Chicago. So I can use that because it has our fund structure in it, and reset those tests up. What we really need to do, so our problem is that we have a high density storage system, which is integrated with Folio, but the way it has been integrated, it's based on location. So when there's a location that is associated with the high density storage system, as soon as that location in the holdings record gets set, it sends the item to the high density storage system. But when we get shelf ready, what we want to do is, we get the cataloging from the vendor. So say we buy something from Gobee, and then they invoice it and they ship it. And at the same time, they send us a record with, the fully cataloged record and our and it has like our location data, it has the call number, it has the barcode, it has the enumeration, it has everything. So our location for a lot of things is our high density storage system. So when we set that location to the high density storage system in the holdings, the natural way of data import is that you update the instance, the holdings, and the items. So the location gets set in the holdings before the barcode gets put in the item. And if an item gets sent over to high density storage, without a barcode, then it chokes. And this is just how it was integrated with Folio. And I don't think that this development team is even still active. I don't think that there's any interest in or any momentum around changing the integration with like Kaiosoft and Dematic and the various softwares that run these systems and Folio. So what we need to do is we need to be able to add the barcode to the item before we add the location to the holdings record, so that when that location gets sent and things get sent over to the storage system, the barcode's already in place. Yeah. Otherwise, we just have to manually go in and flip everything. And that's just, we just don't have enough staff for that. But what I can do is I can actually report back on my findings, and we may not even need to take workshop time for this. If we think that there are potentially ways that it can work through, creative ordering of matching and actions and profiles, then yeah, we can try various options.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you, Christy. And like I said, we haven't had a chance to really dive in and test our theories, but if I recall correctly from when I spoke to the team about this, they thought it might be possible by essentially kind of approaching the job in a way where you're sort of getting a match and drilling into the specific record, and then have a separate match that brings you to another record. So you could have like one match to call the item first and make your assign the barcode, and then after that do a secondary match that, or that's actually separate, that then gets you to the holdings and then to the instance. I believe that kind of concept is where our heads were going when we last spoke about it. So might be worth playing around with something like that, if what I just said made any sense.
Yeah, it did. I think that we did have another constraint where there part of the problem with the matching is also that we want to make sure that we're updating the instance, the holdings, and the items that are associated with each other. Because sometimes records get moved, and if that is the case, then we want the job to fail. And that might have been the constraint before. And since we now know that we can reuse some matches, that still might be possible. But I can do some testing and then just let you know what I test and how it worked out. And maybe I'll post in the Slack channel in case anyone else has scenarios that I haven't tried. If anything doesn't work, then others might have, scenarios that just are not occurring to me that I can test.
Yeah, and we did put the March 11th, so you can also have those discussions. So if you need to create like a decision log together as well, as far as the use cases you tested and the decision that you came to with this new functionality, you can use that time, Christy. Christy.
Okay, I'm going to ask another question again, and I'm sorry with all the questions. So when do we need decision logs? Is it when we want to propose new functionality, or are we, so if everything fails and then we agree, we need a decision log to say, this is functionality that we need, and we're just putting it out there and to get community agreement that we are, endorsing this functionality as a requirement. Is that the decision log, or is it more, we want, this very specific functionality, like how we want it implemented? Is that what is the decision log? Do you understand what I'm asking? I'm just trying to understand better, when it comes to implementing the process that we put in place. I just think I have a lot of questions, and I want to make sure that I have the right understanding of when in the process we should be making a decision log.
So from what I've seen, it's, what was the last one we did? Well, I mean, it was the decision log on the alternating weeks, so that actually is not good. The last, wait, let me, I think it's really, so for this, it can be either. Yeah, I think it's what the community decides. So if you say, this is the new functionality that we want, and we would like it to behave as such, then it goes into community review, where the community can, say, oh, I've got a use case for that too. This is really great, or, what are you thinking of? You're insane. No. I mean, we generally don't get a lot of feedback on our community review, but so it's really how you define that new requested topic. I mean, in this case, you can say, this is a required use case, and we tested this on March 11th, and Stanford has a similar use case, and this is how we kind of expect it to behave, so or this is how we tested it. So does that help, Christy?
No, I think it does. So if I'm thinking about, sequencing this as an activity to continue into March. So I do my testing, and let's say I find a solution that works. I bring it back to this group. Everyone's like, yay, no decision record is required because existing functionality allows this, and we just need to figure out how to document it and where. Let's say we do robust testing and nothing works. So then the next step is to come back to this group and say, we tested X, Y, and Z. Is there anything else we need to test to try and see if we can do this with the existing, functionality? If not, then the question is, who else has a use case for this? Is this something that we want to endorse? And if the answer is yes, then we write up the decision record, or is the decision, well, now I'm talking myself in circles. You know what? Why don't we take this offline? Because others might not be as invested in the process as I am, because I feel like I have some responsibility for adhering to the process and, stewarding the process. And I don't fully feel like I know what I'm doing.
So here's what we can do. Maybe I would, I mean, if you're up to it, spend the March 11th time. And I know you have to test with your data because it involves order information. But see if you can like bring others into discussion if there's other use cases and all of that. And then we'll see if we put it on the agenda. For three, so we go on 3:18, like the results of the testing. So then we can say, oh, hey, and I can put that on for 3:18. And then we can say, so for example, if the testing goes perfectly, let's say you find a solution, then we can work through kind of the process at that point. And if the testing doesn't work, then, let's say the discussion, we'll have the discussion. And if the decision is we need this, then we can work through kind of that housekeeping piece of creating that. It's kind of a decision. So the decision will be to endorse this new functionality and with, within the scope that we set and all of that, then the community review. How does that sound?
I think it sounds good. Thank you for letting me take the time to do what I feel like we've done a couple of times. I just don't feel like I really own this process yet. And it might take a couple of times of going through it before I get there.
Yeah, sure thing. There's a lot of moving parts to it. And this is it's a lot of firsts. So I'm not here on 3:11, just because I have a whole series of department meetings, but I will be here on 3:18. Yeah, alrighty. How does that sound to anyone else have some thoughts? Or comments that they would like to share. All right, not seeing anything. Going off to the next thing. I put this quickly on the agenda because in our last testing, which was last week in our SIG workshop, I noticed that. And this is for you, Ryan. Hopefully, you're still here. So we in the oh gosh, this was in January, I believe, early January, UX Prod 5669 to remove the match criterion options that these appeared in the middle. So here there's this match criterion, and then there's this drop down. So, the SIG made a decision to just say exactly matches. And Ryan, I noticed that any static submatch is actually missing the use of a qualifier and only compare like alphanumeric or numeric in the incoming static match up here. And I was wondering if we could add that in.
So when you are when you have it set to a static match.
Exactly. Yeah.
And did you see that in Snapshot or in like your current build you have?
It's in the current build, and I just looked at Bugfest Sunflower, and it's there as well.
Okay, so this is only for Trillium work, so it won't be in the Sunflower Bugfest.
Okay.
So it'll just be in Snapshot. So let me take a quick look and see if I could answer that really quickly.
Yeah, because it was strange. Like, for some reason, this incoming and the static match, it just is missing those two, use of a qualifier and compare only. That's in every other incoming match profile, selection.
And when you say it's missing, you mean from the top?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah,
Okay.
sorry, this screenshot is a little wonky, but you can
No, no
see,
problem.
yeah, this here. Let me see if I can share. Let me stop my share and see if I can share this one. Here you go. All right, so yeah, so I'm in Sunflower right now. So you can see the existing has the use of a qualifier and only compare part of value. Where up here, there's nothing. So I mean, it's just because we're getting rid of this, because we had a use case where we were thinking, oh, we only want to compare like the first part of this to the existing. And I don't know, maybe we need more discussion on this, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'd be happy to take it as is to the team to discuss it because I think it's always been like this when using
Okay.
the static match.
Okay. All right.
But I'd be curious if there was like a technical reason for it or just something that wasn't considered long ago. So maybe. Yeah, I'll make a note to bring this to the team, and see, if there was any logic for why we didn't offer the use of a qualifier or only compare part of value. Well, I guess, hang on, now that I'm talking out loud about this, we're talking about a static match, and so you're going to enter in the specific value that you want to match on.
Oops.
Would you need anything in addition to like, would you, what would be a scenario where you might need a qualifier applied to the incoming if you're already saying exactly what it is you're looking for?
This would be have to be at the beginning.
So if it appears else,
Oh,
well,
like OC,
right,
OCO, LC.
but I guess the way I'm reading this logic is it's saying, well, essentially what we're saying is look for parentheses OCOLC from
Yeah.
the even though it's not necessarily in the record, it's the incoming record itself. We're saying we want to match on the static value, and then on the existing is where we're able to apply the qualifiers and where we want to look for it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe could you get that clarified with the developers? I
Yeah.
didn't think of it that way, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll
Okay.
talk it out with them. I'll bring it back and see 'cause I feel like at first I thought, yeah, this is a problem, but then the more as we started talking about this, I'm starting to think Maybe it's not.
Yeah,
Maybe it makes sense the way it
and
is.
it is true. And you know, it's funny. The only reason I looked at it was like, oh, oops, these are everywhere. And then all of a sudden they weren't there. And I was like, oh gosh, my symmetry is ruined. Yeah. So
Can't have an asymmetrical page.
that's right. No. All righty. Yeah,
All
that would
right,
be helpful. Yeah.
I'll check in with the team and see what kind of background I can pull up on that, and yeah, when we can put it to follow up on that next time, and see if we have any use cases where we think we might need to get more granular on the static value part of the page.
Okay. Yeah,
And
that's great.
with that, I do need to step away, but please ping me over Slack if anything else comes up that anyone wants my eyes on.
All
Thanks,
right.
everyone.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you. Have a
Bye.
great day. Bye,
You
everyone.
too. And I think we have testing set up for on April 8th to go back to use of a qualifier and compare only compare part of the value. So we'll get back to that lovely logic quagmire for April. Actually, it'd be appropriate to go on April 1st, but it will be April 8th. All right. Any questions about this before moving on? All righty then. So our next one, just to confirm, we had mod data imp 1199, which is right here. So allow update of an instance and the SRS record in a single import job. Sorry for the scroll. Let me go back to the description if you want to read that on the screen. This is possible right now. So the way that you have to do it, if you have a mark, a match from an incoming mark field to the existing mark SRS field, you have to start with the update of the mark SRS and then update the instance. So what we wanted to confirm here, and we have tested this. There's an example here in Folio, Sunflower that updates it, and it works with field protections as well, because you can, overlay field protections or not. So this, I think, overlaid maybe 856, and then it updated. I think it was like a stack code or something like that. But I wanted to check here to make sure that this is okay. This is what we want in terms of the behavior. We just have to remember it. Christy.
I think that that is what we want within the behavior. I think that my concern is, so well, my question is, does it only work with an SRS match? Like, can you do a mark to instance match and then update the SRS and then the instance? Because there's some data that's only going to be in the instance, such as like the acquisitions data. A lot of our matching for our acquisitions updates are on the vendor reference number, and that is from the association between the instance and the order, and that's only going to be available as an instance match, a mark to instance match, right?
So you would be updating your instance with those fields.
Well, so if I guess what I'm asking is, I want to do, so it sounds like you can do a mark-to-mark match and then update the SRS and then update the instance. And that works, correct? That's what you said. So what if the only match for a data import job is a mark to instance match. Does that mean that I can't update both the SRS and the mark in the same job?
So you'd have to do the instance. Can you update a Mark SRS after an instance update? Has anyone tried that?
I know you used to not be able to, but
are you necessarily updating the instance first, or are you just matching on the instance and then updating the SRS first and then the instance?
well, I think that the use case would require that the SRS be updated before the instance.
Yeah.
But will that work with a mark to instance match instead of a mark to mark match?
It didn't used to work because if you had to act on the record that was in the match.
So then my question is, is it enough for this to only work with a mark to mark match? I mean, I think that it should work with a mark-to-mark match or a mark-to-instance match. But I would be interested to hear what others think. And do we need to test it to figure out, does it? Do we need to confirm that it does or does not work with a mark-to-instance match?
I think we need to test.
Yeah, I agree, Yael. And Whitney said it would be nice to have both the mark-to-mark ability to do this and then the match for mark-to-instance. So we have the 311 dedicated to testing the holdings. Oops, just scrolling up for a minute. Testing, the update instance holdings and item in reverse order. Would there be enough time on March 11th to test a mark to instance match and then an update on the mark and then an instance?
Why don't we put it on the agenda and then if we have time?
Yeah.
Okay, all righty.
And if no one else has any use cases for the taking things out of order, and everyone is okay with me just testing on my own, I can just test that on my own and report back.
All right, sorry, just making a note for myself. All right, I will add that to I think so the mark to instance match and then update SRS and then update instance. I mean, it shouldn't take that long. I mean, hopefully. But I'll put that on the 311. And yeah, you can see if you get to that. All righty. Any other comments on this one? So basically, what we will do is we'll test, get it on the March 11th agenda for testing in Sunflower. Okay. All righty. So Autumn and actually this agenda item right here, Autumn is not feeling well. And so she wasn't able to come today. So the data import follow-up discussion on what goes on the wiki versus I believe that's folio.org. will take place on the 4th. So next week is our calming week, and I will move this discussion to the 4th for us. In the meantime, we have just a return to, did we discuss this last time, or maybe it was on the 4th. So, new functionality, it's line 8 of the spreadsheet. Delete holdings and items in batch via data import. And we got talking about this in lab. We thought that maybe this, there's a lot involved, and some people were worried about there have no there's no guardrails involved with this work. And we should really talk to cross app or app interaction. If you go to the app interaction Slack channel, there were some really interesting threads or responses to that, with some early documentation going back from to technical counsel, and even some other places on what it means to delete. So some pretty interesting historical context, if you want to read up on that. So one of the things though that we had talked about is, what are our use cases for this functionality? Because sometimes it's, well, I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but I guess sometimes it's not about guardrails. Sometimes you just want to just get rid of these records. You really don't need them anymore. So that's one use case. And of course, right now we don't have any way, even bulk edit to delete holdings and items in batch. So let me, can you see the screen that I'm sharing right now? It's a spreadsheet.
Yes.
Yay! I know it's an exciting spreadsheet, but yes, the exciting spreadsheet. And just put that. Oh, Vivian, I see that you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that CrossApp is going to be discussing this issue at a future meeting. I think it's our next. I don't know what day we're discussing it, but we are definitely going to be talking about this behavior, about deletion stuff.
I believe it is March 4th.
Yes, I think that is also correct.
Yeah. So if you are able to come, so cross app on Wednesdays is from noon to one. And if you are able to come, please come. And I think the more places we have this discussion, the more we can kind of get people to strengthen the cause that we need this functionality. Any other comments? Christy.
The one thing that I will say is that our biggest use case is the ability to get rid of data that was created in error.
I agree.
I mean, that is actually our biggest use case. Someone loaded a file twice and boom, we've got 20,000 records that we don't want in our system and we can't get rid of them. So, I mean, even if it's not the instances, but the ability to have a single job that suppresses the instance, adds a note, and deletes all the associated holdings and items, we, yeah, would be just like so, it would be like a breath of fresh air to be able to do that.
Yeah, and actually, well, I do know, well, no, that's different. Sorry, I was thinking about there is already deletion of MARC SRS, kind of orphan records and cleanup of that as well. But that's different. So I put here, and please, if you need other, columns, I just created this a couple of minutes before the meeting. So, definitely add your own. I don't know why you need a title, but description, of use case, and resolves what issues. If we could start filling this out, I think that would be really, really great. I think I'll share this also with App Interaction, in case they have use cases. And I think I guess I wanted to ask. Oh, well, Lynn, go ahead.
So is this for just holdings and items or instances as well, based off of the title of your document?
And that was my question as well, because if we go back to it is delete holdings and items. So the original request, and I think Christy, did you add this to
I
this?
did, and I thought that by leaving instances out of it, it would make it an easier conversation to have. If we need to bring instances into it, I think that we can. But I think that we get a big win for being able to batch delete holdings and items, even if we can't get, not mark for deletion, but make things really just go away. Like disappear from the system, poof, gone.
Vivian.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in. I agree. I mean, I totally agree with Christy on that. It would be such a nice big win if we could delete holdings and items and batch. I also agree that bringing instances into the conversation does complicate the matter because you can currently delete holdings and item records on an individual basis in the UI, but you can't delete instance records in the UI. You can delete them via API, but since we're looking for since we're looking for the ability to batch delete holdings and items in the UI as opposed to via API call, I would almost say pursuing instance records as a separate thing rather than lumping them all in together, would probably be the better strategy. I think I'm done.
Yeah, and those are really good comments. I think in the last discussion, I think we did attach instances to this discussion, and I think that's where it kind of went south. Well, not south, but it started getting into the guardrails of, well, what happens if something is attached? And there is some of that with items and holdings as well. But maybe a little bit differently than with instances. Katie. Katie, did you have your hand up?
Oh, sorry. Unmuting might help. I don't know. I think we're all like recovering from some illness. So we delete items, holdings, and instances via API. Actually, our catalogers do it, and the instances are all complicated because there'd be multiple SRS records linked to it. And sometimes there'll be two that are old status and one with an actual status, or the was it the 999 or 998 where you have the SRS UUID in there. In the record, it's actually the original SRS UUID in the record. Not the one that it's currently linked to, so they can't even just grab that to delete the SRS record. So I just think it makes it so much more complicated when you jump to instances and then you have to worry about the attached MARC record. So I agree with Vivian and Christy that we should just kind of leave it out for now.
Alrighty, so I think it's worth getting use cases anyway. If we can start putting this in a little bit, maybe also we can think of behavior of how we this might look. I think Christy, you mentioned that you want to put some information in the instance. I'm not sure if that was a stat code or maybe mark them. Would you want to mark the instance, for deletion, and then actually hard delete the holdings and items? Which is I shouldn't make that assumption either. We are talking about a hard delete of holdings and items here. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I have no problems with version control, like being there, like having. I mean, I do think that we need to have these conversations, and perhaps App Interaction is the best place to have that. So, if I delete a holdings and item, like, does it delete all versions? I actually don't know. I don't really care either, because most of what we're deleting is. It is junk. Stuff is created an error, or what we need to replace the entire holdings, like for electronic resources or something like that. And it's mostly leased materials, So, but that said, I do think that we need to have the discussion and discuss what it means to delete a holdings. Does that can we keep, the data so that someone can go back and run a query and say, like, oh, this used to have these holdings, but they're not there anymore. That I think might be interesting. Do I want to be able to undelete things? I think that's something that we have to answer because, how we delete things decides whether or not we can undelete things. And I'm as long as it like goes away from the UI and it's not showing up in searches or matches, it's not going to impact our data imports. Like, I don't want something to accidentally match one of these like deleted holdings and items. If there's data hanging out, kind of like what's going on or what was going on with the marked for deletion instances. So I guess that's my way of saying I think we need to have these conversations, and I'm open as to what it means to delete, but well, I think that it is different from staff suppression because you can search and find the staff suppressed are still discoverable, maybe not via the filters in the UI, but if I load something via data import and there's something with that barcode, it's going to be found. And that's what was happening with the mark for deletion. You were marking something for deletion and you couldn't find it in the UI, but you would load something via data import and it was matching those things that were marked for deletion, and yet you couldn't update them. So, I just think that there are all kinds of conversations that need to be had. But personally, I am okay with like hard delete, let's make these things go away. Yeah. But I know that not everybody wants that. And, that's why we have to have the conversation.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I can see like a use case potentially for, even with the instances with the mark for delete, like where you want to have like a third party reporting system still report on maybe some of this information. I don't know, retention or have queries on what's been deleted. I don't think that's ever been done. Yeah, Vivian says in the chat, can see both sides, like a soft deleted data We'll come back to make the problems in some way down the theoretical road. Yeah, it's interesting. And also, especially with, and I know we're dealing with data import here, but let's say your data import hits on maybe some bandwidth, where there's interesting data models that play with holdings and items. Items can be attached to different instances and stuff like that. Right now we can't really deal with bandwidth in the data import side, but maybe in the future we could. So, but how do you deal with deleting that as well? I'm just gonna look at the need to run. Yep, thank you. Alrighty. So please fill out these use cases. That would be really helpful. Even if it's to say, yeah, get rid of these entirely, or here's my use case and a soft delete would work. Let's see. So in terms of housekeeping, I'm going to add the testing of the match from mark to instance, and just to see if we can do the update SRS then instance to the 311. And then I'm going to add autumn and documentation, what goes where, wiki versus folio.org, documentation for the 3.4. I think I got everything. So that is it. I will stop share. Any other last minute words of data import wisdom people want to share? There is no wisdom with data import. I completely agree.
There is no wisdom, period.
That's right. All right. Well, I hope everyone has a good Wednesday and a good weekend. If you have something for lab on Thursday, remember to post that in the channel. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank
Bye.
you. Bye.